Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
Whoa, John, what are you playing?
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
I'm John Batchelor with Professor Toby Wilkinson. He's an Egyptologist, which is a very specialized form of taking it for a walk in history. And this period is the 300 years before Rome shows up and takes over everything in the Mediterranean. The Macedonians are in the Nile River Valley, and they learn through Ptolemy. Alexander starts it, but Ptolemy and Ptolemy II and Ptolemy III to work with the Egyptians, who have gifts and many gods, and understand the Nile is life-giving. At the same time, they're surrounded by warriors who mean to take control of the bounty that the Egyptian kings, Ptolemies, have produced. And we have the first Syrian war. I lost count how many Syrian wars there are. I think there are five. We also have a war called the Cremonodian War. And all of this is fought in the third and fourth century BCE. The Punic War started in here. Rome gets involved. Rome versus Carthage, Rome versus Macedon, Seleucids versus Egypt. And the Ptolemies managed all this because what of their army? I presented them as intellectual giants. Were they also very good on the battlefield?
But they were. And you know, the key to Ptolemaic military success is mercenary troops. So Egypt is a very wealthy country from grain and from gold. And part of that wealth is used to buy the services of foreign mercenaries. And again, if you're a young man anywhere in the Greek-speaking world and you want to get rich quick and have a bit of adventure along the way, you know that if you go to Alexandria and enlist in the Ptolemaic army, you'll be well paid. And if you survive your period of active service, you'd also be granted some land when you become a veteran. So it's a pretty good deal for mercenary troops. And with their own strategic genius for leading battles and with all of these mercenary forces, the early Ptolemies make great military gains across the Mediterranean. But, you know, people always want a bit of Egypt because it's such a wealthy country. And so it can never let its guard down because there will always be a neighbor, a rival who wants to conquer Egypt. And really the story of the Ptolemies is a story of constantly fighting for survival against rivals, against aggressors who want to invade Egypt and take its riches for themselves.
I love the arms race of elephants. Now, I don't quite remember Ptolemy III or two. They've got elephants, so we need them, but they went to a different part of the Eurasian continent. Did the Ptolemies go for the Indian elephants or the African elephants?
Yeah, this is so interesting, isn't it? So think of elephants as the battle tanks of the ancient world.
Right.
Once they're clothed in armor, they can really just drive forward against any kind of opposition. So the Ptolemies' great rivals, called the Seleucids, in much of what is today the Middle East, they have access to Indian elephants, which are pretty strong and can be trained as kind of battle elephants. The Ptolemies have to make do with African elephants, which are a little bit more flighty on the field of battle. They're harder to train. But you're right. There is the kind of there is this escalating arms race of Indian elephants against African elephants. And who can amass the most elephants in their army? It's a little strange. You couldn't really make it up, but it was, in its time, the most important arms race in the world.
And the Syrian wars, the Syrian wars, they're also intermarrying at this point as well, sending sisters to marry kings and heirs.
Yeah, there's a real love-hate relationship between the different dynasties of the Hellenistic world. I mean, they're trying to get one up on each other all the time. But they're also intermarrying. So you have, I suppose it's a bit like, you know, Europe in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, where you have the Kaiser in Germany related to, you know, Queen Victoria and King Edward VII in England. They're close relatives, but they're enemies on a kind of international scale. It's a bit like that in the Ptolemaic period. They're married into other royal families, but that doesn't stop them going to war.
The marriages, the wars continue while they're building this empire of great admiration. And I want to say that the decline is about to start, but there's no easy way to explain the decline with 4, 5, and 6. 1, 2, and 3 do such a magnificent job. Is it that no one could touch them, and so they indulged in non-practical pursuits? I'm trying to come up with how the change happens. It's true that many dynasties fall apart, but this one didn't have anybody crashing in on the Nile. It was powerful.
Yeah, I think there are two factors at play to the decline of Ptolemaic power. One is the cost of fighting all these foreign wars. It's a big drain on the economy. And the ordinary Egyptian farmers start to get a little bit aggravated by the constant taxation and taxes being hiked to fund the army and the foreign wars. And that stokes up a lot of resentment amongst the Egyptian population and leads to civil war. But at the same time, you know, one of the disadvantages of monarchy is that you're never quite sure what the next generation will throw up in terms of the king. And after Ptolemies 1, 2, and 3, and to an extent 4, who are quite high achievers, Ptolemy 5 becomes king when he's still a small boy, a small child. So does Ptolemy 6. And so for a number of generations, you have kings who are just kids. And so the power is really being wielded by others. Factionalism breaks out within the court. People jockeying for position. And as we know, that can be very destabilizing of a government.
A note, Ptolemy IV is young, so he has someone to run the empire for him named Sosibius. And Sosibius and Ptolemy IV, who's a teenager, eventually fight the Battle of Raphia in 217 BCE in June. And I was thrilled to realize there was a Battle of Raphia because it's divided on the international border between Gaza and the Sinai. There's the village of Rafah on both sides. On the Gaza side, it's ruins. On the Egyptian side, it's right up against a fence, the border. But to realize that I had been looking all these years at a battle that took place 2,200 years ago that determined the fate of the Egyptian, of the Macedonian Egyptian Empire. It's magical, Tony. Toby, I can't imagine the archaeology that must be under that sand if they ever stop damaging themselves.
For sure. I mean, both Gaza and Rafah, you know, names that are all too familiar in today. These are places that have been the site of battles for hundreds, thousands of years. And yeah, every civilization that's passed by has left its mark.
It's sand, and underneath is secrets. The book is The Last Dynasty. We're going to begin the dramatic decline when we come back. Toby Wilkinson is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Visit MODO.US for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games with free spins, exciting promotions, and always generous jackpots. You can waste your time with the others, or you can win at Modo. Register today at MODO.US for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MODO.US.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message.
Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.